When night fell, Horty broke down and wept inconsolably. Springall crept through the gloom and found him sitting on a log feeling sorry for himself. She put a paw around him.
Horty, don't cry. What's the matter? This isn't like you.
He shoved the paw away.
Get off me. You don't care. No flipping one bellywell blooming cares about me.
Bragoon took a firmer approach.
Come on now, mate. What's all this blubbering about, eh?
Horty snapped a small twig and flung it at the otter, but it missed.
You ain't no mate of mine. None of you lot is. I'm starving to death. I've got a mole hill growing out of me head. Me poor skull aches like flaming thunder, and now I'm going blind. I can hardly see a paw in front of me.
Fenner took over, grasping the weeping hare's shoulders.
Don't be silly, Horty Braybrook, and listen to me. What's all this carrying on for, eh? You're hungry, right. Tell me when you aren't hungry. What then? Your head's aching. Stands to reason you've suffered a nasty bang on it. But as for going blind, that's nonsense. It's so dark in this forest at night time that none of us can see much. Here, take hold of this stick and follow me. Don't keep fiddling with that dressing on your head or it'll never get better. Sorrow, have you any food left?
The squirrel produced a few mushrooms.
I saved these.
Fenner gave the mushrooms to Horty.
Eat them slowly. Take small bites and chew each mouthful 20 times. Come on, up you come. We've still got a lot of ground to cover yet.
They marched all night, with Bragoon scouting ahead and Sorrow keeping them on course. The otter returned in dawn's first glimmer, bringing with him a heap of ripe bilberries in his cloak.
Look at what I found. I think there must be a river ahead. I could hear the sound of running water in the distance. Sit down and get your gums round a few of these, Horty mate. They're nice and ripe. We'll rest here a while.
Horty was considerably less sorrowful when there was food in the offing.
Better than those measly mushrooms. I say, old chaps, I can see better. Flipping bandage must have fell down over my eyes last night. What? Oh, corks. Now everything's gone flipping green. Why is it all green?
Springald explained.
Because it isn't properly light yet. It's the day breaking over the treetops. Pines grow so thick in here that it makes the light look green.
But Horty would not be convinced.
Fiddlesticks, you're only saying that to make a chap feel better. Ah, well, I don't mind spending the rest of my life in a green fog. Look at old Bragg, sour apple face, and you too, Spring, little lettuce features. And you, Fen, young grass gob.
Sorrow stared at him pointedly.
You missed me out.
Having devoured all the available berries, Horty lay back and closed his eyes.
Hush now. Let a chap get some rest, cabbage head.
The squirrel chuckled.
That's more like the old Horty we all know and dread.
Mid-morning found them back trekking once more, eager to be out of the oppressive pine forest. The further on they went, the more pronounced came the sound of flowing water. Sorrow stopped to listen.
Sounds like a fairly wide river. Have you got that old map from the abbey, mate?
Bragoon produced the map, which had been made during the journey of Matthias of Redwall in search of his son Matimeo. He scanned it closely.
Aye, we're on the right course, though I think we took a different route to get to it. This is the high cliffs, here's the wastelands, and this is the pines we're in now. There should be some sort of open area ahead, then a big river. We'll soon see, mates. Press on, eh?
They emerged onto the edge of a deep valley, the hill below them, thickly dotted with smaller pines and lots of shrubbery. Below it was the narrowest strip of bank. Beyond that, a wide, fast-flowing river glimmered in the sunlight. Halfway down, the travellers halted on a shale ledge. They still had some way to go, and the descent looked fairly steep. Horty sat down, yawning in the heat. He rested his face in both paws. Sorrow prodded him.
Are you all right? Head aching, is it?
The young hare nodded.
A bit, but I'm more tired than anything.
Sorrow indicated an overhang that was screened by bushes.
Tuck yourself in there, young'un, and take a snooze. I'll call you when we're ready to move.
The four travellers slithered and bumped down the steep hillside, grasping trees and bushes to slow their descent. They were about halfway down when Bragoon sighted the reptiles. He halted, pointing.
Down yonder on the riverside below us. Those reptiles I dealt with last night are waiting for us. Trouble is, they brought a pile of their gang with them.
Sorrow cantered the assorted lizards, newts, toads, smooth snakes and grass snakes, awaiting them on the shore. There were about 30 in all, with another 20 camped on the opposite bank of the river. A thin reed lance zipped upward, narrowly missing Fenner's cheek. She stumbled, almost overbalancing, but Bragoon managed to grab her.
Take cover quick! They're throwing lances!
To one side of the slope, a fallen pine had lodged flat between two standing trees. Crouching behind it, Sorrow fitted a stone to her sling and launched it off at the reptiles. Cautiously, she peered over the log, noting that a toad had hopped out of the way of a stone.
They ain't moving, just waiting for us down there. Let's give them another couple of sling stones, mate.
But she and Bragoon slung more stones as Springald and Fenner threw lumps of shale. They were forced to duck fast as a half dozen of the sharp, thin lances came back at them. The otter thumped his rudder down irritably.
Well, this ain't gonna get us to Loamhedge. Those cold-blooded scum have got us pinned down here.
Springald picked up one of the lances and threw it back.
It's a standoff. What are we going to do?
Sarabando passed her sling to the mousemaid.
You can use this. 'Tis a good sling, but I'll want it back later. This is what we'll do. While you three keep slinging stones, I'll slide off through the trees and take a scout round downriver. I'll find a good, quiet spot where the river narrows for an easy crossing. Then I'll slip back here and let you know. Once 'tis dark, we can all sneak away and escape, right?
Fenner nodded.
Sounds like a good idea.
Bragoon raised his eyebrows.
Sounds like. Let me tell you, missy, when my old mate gets an idea, 'tis always a good un.
Sorrow gave him a quick grin.
Thank ye, Brag. Now let's give him a good rattling volley to keep their heads down while I pop off unnoticed. 1, 2, 3.
Slingstones and lumps of shale peppered down at the foe beast below. When Springall looked up, Sorrow had gone. Bragoon shoved the mousemaid's head back down as more lances came.
Always duck fast once you've throwed, Spring. There's more poor beasts been injured or slain in fights by looking up to see where their stones went. Ready again? Come on, let's give him a spot of blood and vinegar. Yaha! Try some of this, you scumbag bottle-nosed crawlers!
Horty slept on beneath the overhang, blissfully unaware of what was taking place.